Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
And today we have a very special guest. We have Catherine Bell, who is the founder and visionary of Garden to Table.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Hi to Mai.
It's lovely to be here.
Now, Garden to Table, you may not have heard about it, but if you haven't heard about it, then we're going to tell you what it's all about. Garden to Table is a program run in schools to get kids into gardening. And so, Catherine, can you please tell us how it all came about?
Well, it's more than gardening, actually. It's also about cooking and sharing food around a table. So it's a multifaceted program. But it came about because I've been a cook and a food writer and a cookery teacher for many years, and I saw that there was a need, a disconnect out there about people not really understanding where their food comes from or how to feed themselves well. Mm-hmm. So I'm an old friend of an Australian culinary icon, Stephanie Alexander, and so she started a program in 2001 in Australia called the Stephanie Alexander Kitchen Garden Foundation, which was designed for primary school children to learn how to grow, harvest, prepare or cook and share food, fresh food that they grow themselves. So I asked her if we could do the same thing here, modelled on her program, no use reinventing the wheel, so to speak. And so we did. And in 2008, we started working on trying to get a program off the ground here, and we chose to call it Garden to Table. And in 2009, our first three schools started.
Wow. What was the first three schools, just out of interest?
So we chose, we wanted to sort of pilot it, I guess. We chose or approached three schools, each with different deciles. Mm-hmm. So a decile one in Otara, East Tamaki School, a decile 10 in Meadowbank School, and a decile 5 Peninsula Primary out on Te Atatū Peninsula. Mm-hmm. So they all received some funding from us that we were able to secure to help get their programs off the ground. We were very much following the Australian model at that point, and quickly realised that trying to find that sort of funding for every school was going to be unsustainable. So it's changed and evolved over the years. Mm. But those schools, East Tamaki and Meadowbank, have very, very strong programs still. East Tamaki's unfortunately suffered from quite a lot of different changes in principle and so forth, and they've struggled a little bit with their program. But as far as I know, it's still going, but perhaps not quite as robustly as it could be. Mm-hmm. But they do have lovely, lovely gardens out there. And yes, every school's different.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, that is always a challenge, isn't it, when you're working in schools that are constantly changing. I find we both work in schools. And
right.
Yeah, it is a bit of a struggle for anyone wanting to start a program up in schools. Keep it going.
Exactly. And it's very dependent, we've found, on having a principal that's behind it 150%. Mm-hmm. And then, because we all know that teachers are very busy people and quite time poor.
Yeah.
And the beauty of Garden to Table is that it doesn't actually require the teachers to do anything other than... No, because the schools employ a garden specialist and a kitchen specialist. So they run the program. They facilitate it. The garden specialist, they work together, usually with a program champion who's one of the classroom teachers of one of the classes doing the program, to find out what the children are learning or what topics they're learning in class. Mm. And then they link that to what the children do in the garden and the kitchen. But they also prepare the classes. They look after the gardens. They prepare the cookery classes. The teacher comes along, and because it's classroom time, it's all linked to the children's curriculum and their learning. So then the teacher can take back to the classroom what the children have been doing and link it into the topics and the learning. And that's one of the jobs of our trust, is to provide the teacher with all those resources, all those curricular resources.
Mm. So do the children get maybe half an hour out of their class time to go in the garden and learn, or...?
Well, it's timetabled classroom time. So instead of being in a classroom with desks and chairs, they're in a classroom that's a garden or a kitchen.
Yeah.
So generally the session times are about an hour and a half, and they most schools tend to split the class in half. So half will go in the garden 1 week and half will go in the kitchen, and then the following week they'll swap. But they all come together at the end to eat.
Okay.
So...
Lovely.
Yeah, it's a very inclusive thing. And... we must get you out to a garden.
I actually work in a school that has garden table.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Which school's that?
Henderson North.
Ah, wonderful.
And their gardens are really, every time I go there, I don't work there all the time. I'm a relief teacher, so I haven't been working there as much as I normally do, but I was there last week on Friday, and the gardens had doubled since I'd last seen. It's really taking off there. That's great.
Well, spring's great for growth, of course.
Well, of course, yeah. But I can see the real love and dedication that's at that particular school, and I know the principal. She's just awesome, and I can see that she's really supporting it, and she's been there forever.
Right.
So,
okay.
Really ties in with what you're saying.
The kids love it because it gets them out of the classroom, and for a lot of children that's very powerful. You know, kids that don't learn well in that formal classroom setting, and, you know, I was one of those kids, so I know how powerful it is to actually learn by doing. And so, you know, you're looking at maths and science and literacy, and we get great feedback from principals and teachers that, you know, some children really start to thrive.
Mm.
So, because it's all it comes to life for them.
Mm.
So, yes, and it makes teaching fun. So a lot of teachers really embrace it.
I know. When the teacher I was working with a few terms back said, you've got garden to table on this day, so, you know, you can relax and enjoy it. Well, it was wonderful. It was almost like, oh, great, someone else is going to sort of take over now. But, of course, I was there managing and, you know, helping out. I couldn't help myself. But it was just,
The teachers are an important part of the session, because they're there to maintain discipline.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. get a bit excited.
which isn't normally a problem, but, you know, you can have the odd recalcitrant one.
Oh, of course.
but also they love it because they're learning.
Yeah.
They're also sharing their knowledge with the children.
Mm.
Volunteers are actually an important part of the program, because if you've got 15 kids, you need to break them up into smaller groups to do different jobs, and if you've got an adult with each of those groups, they can take them off and supervise them, keep them safe, share their knowledge with the children. But the children do it. That's the thing.
Mm.
Sometimes it's quite hard to train the volunteers not to do it. It's the children that do it.
Yeah, children need to do it.
And it's all about, you know, for people listening, this is not about kiddie-sized anything. This is real life gardening and cooking. Mm. So it's real spades, real tools, real wheelbarrows, real knives in the kitchen, real everything. So the important thing is that the children can take what they're learning home. And, you know, we do have lots of great anecdotal evidence that kids are teaching their parents to garden and cook, and also encouraging the family and the people they live with to sit together to eat, which, and to my mind, is actually one of the most important aspects of the program for lots of reasons.
Yeah. They've got... scarecrows. I think there's about four huge scarecrows for every plot. It's fabulous. It looks really neat.
Well, there's lots of art that goes in, you know, garden signs and, you know, lots of wet weather activities involved, like making scarecrows, signage, you know, saving seeds, making compost, all these things which are so important for children to learn in today's world.
Mm. Fabulous.
Is the garden set up already, or... can you go into garden to table with no sort of garden already?
Absolutely. Some schools have gardens because they might be part of Enviro schools, so they're growing a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Usually not much happens with the produce. The teachers might take it home, or the kids might get to take something home, but they usually have to expand those.
Mm.
You know, depending how many children are going to participate in garden to table will depend how large the gardens need to be.
Mm.
Because if they're going to produce enough broccoli or enough tomatoes or enough kumara for the children to cook with, they need to grow, you know, a reasonable quantity of food.
Yeah.
Mm. Excess, of course, if there is excess, can be given to kids to take home to their whanau. And, you know, that's important too.
Mm.
But that every school's different. So it's important that the schools engage with their communities for support, you know, have working bees, all those sorts of things. But we love it when the kids get to design the gardens, have input there, and also help to build them.
Yeah.
You know, if they have that input, they're going to have a lot of pride in what they've achieved, not just in what they're growing, but in what they've created. Mm. And we have found that Garden to Table becomes a very, very important part of the school. You know, they're very proud of it. Kids in the junior classes, years one and two, can't wait to become part of Garden to Table.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's something that they really look forward to. And sometimes they're given little tasters. You know, they might get a session once a term or doing something in the garden or the kitchen.
Is it a certain age group that best benefits from the program?
Well, we say, well, the program's designed for years 3 to 6 or onwards up to year 8. So that's 7 to 10 or 7 to 12-year-olds, depending if the school has an intermediate classes in it. But generally, schools can decide. They might have two-year groups involved, so 3, 4 or 4, 5 or 5, 6.
Mm.
We leave that up to them. But the ideal, if this ever is achieved, is for kids to start in year 3 and go right through the 4 years. That doesn't really happen because, you know, lots of other things get in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, year 6s tend to have lots of other activities that they have to do.
Mm.
So, but ideally, if the kids could have 4 years of Garden to Table, it would be fantastic.
Mm. That'd great training. Start them young.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, exactly. It's about life skills.
Mm.
But, you know, I'd love to talk a little bit about all the other potential outcomes of Garden to Table, because yes, they're learning how to grow food and cook it, share it around a table, and those are very important life skills. If you can feed yourself well, you'll be able to feed your family well going forward. But also it's about, and we've talked about the academic benefits, you know, it's learning benefits at school of those classes as well, but also it's about self-esteem. You know, it's about pride and self-confidence.
Mm.
You know, when you plant something, you then go on, you nurture it.
Mm.
So the children are learning to nurture, which is an incredibly important skill, which is learned. You're not born knowing how to nurture. You're not born with empathy. Those are learned things. So there's a lot of teamwork and there's a lot of working with people outside your own little cohort of friends.
Yeah.
All those things are really important socially.
And responsibility.
Responsibility, exactly.
Yeah.
So when they harvest this, the produce that they've grown or the fruits, pick the fruits, there's an enormous sense of pride that goes along with that.
Yeah. Mm.
And wonder.
And lots of wonder, lots of curiosity.
A cucumber suddenly appearing that goes from this big to that big quite quickly.
Exactly.
The kids are just, wow, they've watched the whole process and not just seen it end up a pack and save.
So they might, you know, dig up the potatoes or the kumara and then they'll, you know, they'll weigh them and they'll, and the pumpkins are a great example. They'll weigh the pumpkins and often they have their own pumpkin plant perhaps, you know, that they've planted and, wow, look at this enormous pumpkin that we've grown.
Yeah.
Yes, an enormous amount of pride and wonder. And
still blows my mind when even as an adult, I see the produce come out.
Even in my own garden.
Yeah.
Yesterday I picked my first raspberry.
Yeah.
I decided to plant a raspberry bush this year.
Yeah.
And there was one yesterday morning I was out in the garden and I saw this one lovely big raspberry ripened.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, I'll pick that tonight. Well, I went out and a bird had eaten half of it. But I chopped off the edges and I ate the other half. I thought, I'm going to taste this raspberry. And that was quite exciting.
It is,
you know.
Yeah.
And
it never gets old.
I'm a long way off childhood. So there is a lot of wonder attached to it. And it's lovely to see. And when I get to go out to schools, you know, it still gives me goosebumps that the children are learning these things and there's so much joy involved in it.
Mm.
And the same goes in the kitchen. You know, I can't emphasize enough the fact that the children are learning to cook and they're eating green things, you know. And we all know that kids, I don't like spinach or, you know, I'm not going to eat anything that's green. And that's very common. But when you've grown it, and also when you sit down at the table and the food's all put in the middle and it's shared, it's not canteen style, they don't get it dolloped on their plate. They've cooked that.
Mm.
They've chopped it. They've cooked it. They've put it on the platter and they're proud of it.
Mm.
They might be a little bit reticent at first. You know, you can see some of them certainly in the early stages of Garden to Table, the first weeks, thinking, oh, do I really want to eat that?
Yeah.
You
know,
but then they'll look across the table and their friend will be eating it and down the end of the table somebody
That's
else
right.
will be eating and they'll think, well, if they're eating it, it must taste okay. So they'll try it. And that's sort of the rule. Try it. Don't take a lot. Just take a little bit. Taste it. If you like it, you can have more. Mm. But try it.
Yeah.
Mm. How do you know you don't like it if you haven't tried it?
Yeah, and that's peer pressure in a good way there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, there's quite a bit that goes on, and it's wonderful to see.
Yeah.
Very rewarding.
Oh, speaking of cooking and everything, did you want to mention your latest book that you've...
Well, I'd love to, thank you. As a food writer, I have done a couple of books in the past, some years ago now, but it was always has always been my intention to do a book for Garden to Table to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
So last year I decided I could finally do this. We've just celebrated 10 years and, you know,
I thought that's a good time.
This would be a great opportunity to have a book that would help celebrate our 10 years.
Yeah.
So I've written a book called Bounty, which is all about cooking with vegetables. It's for everyone. It's not a children's book. And it's divided into recipe groups. So we've got things like groups like leafy greens and brassicas and corn and squash and that includes pumpkins and zucchini and things like that. So there's about 8 different chapters. I'm trying to remember what they all are. I should have brought a book with me. Then there's also some growing information. So each chapter starts with a double page of imagery and simple growing information. It's meant to be inspirational. It's not a gardening book, but it's meant to say to people, or it's meant to encourage people to say, I can do that.
Yeah.
So keep it simple. And then also throughout, there's lovely imagery of Garden to Table children in schools, which tells a little bit the story of Garden to Table, and some lovely quotes from some of our Garden to Table heroes, I call them. So principals from East Tamaki and Meadowbank, and some of our volunteers, parents and specialists who have been involved with Garden to Table over the 10 years, and just telling us nice little anecdotes about what it means to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the front, we've got a lovely foreword from 3 chapters by all stories by our 3 ambassadors. So Al Brown, chef, has written the foreword for me.
Oh,
and then,
really?
Yeah. He's a great advocate of Garden to Table.
Wow, yeah.
And
a great chef.
And a great chef, yes. We all love his food. He's got a great philosophy about food.
Yeah.
But Garden to Table really resonates with him.
Yeah, he's quite a... His recipes are quite simple, aren't they?
Well, it's real food. It's not chefy food.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was dyslexic and chefing was something that he really... Or cooking was something that he really found... worked for him, and so he relates a lot to what Garden to Table's about. Mm. Then we've got a lovely chapter by Nikki Bazant, who's our Nikki's a nutritionist and a journalist who writes very sensibly about food. She's been at the Healthy Food Guide for many years,
mm-hmm.
and so she's written a lovely piece about the importance of vegetables in one's diet.
Okay.
We all know that we need to eat our veg. But she takes a very practical and pragmatic approach, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a chapter by Dan Mackay, who's our gardening ambassador. Dan's the Ministry of Ground. He's a great a landscape gardener, but also has 5 kids, so, you know, they grow their own veg. And he has written just a really nice piece about how to get a garden going. And, you know, whether it's on your windowsill or your balcony, or whether you've just done a no-dig garden or pots, you know, anybody can grow something, even if it's just herbs or, you know, some radishes or whatever it might be. It's not...
It doesn't have to be like
you
a full-scale...
Absolutely not.
You can just start small, and if it does end up growing into full-scale production, so be it.
Exactly. Starting small is actually a really good philosophy for anybody who hasn't gardened before or had an edible garden. You know, there's nothing worse than putting in 25 lettuces and having them all ready to eat at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, you have to...
And it's maintenance, watering and all that.
It does take a little bit of time.
So, yeah.
Even the smallest garden, you need some time to look after it. And so, although, as I say, yeah, I should say that if you do have 25 lettuces already at the right time, it's lovely to be able to share your produce with other people.
True.
So there's that aspect.
There's always people needing food out there these days, I find.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. So Bounty is all about cooking with vegetables. There's 80 lovely vegetable recipes in there. They're very approachable. They're not. These are not chefy recipes.
Yeah.
I wanted to make the book inspirational and approachable. Even the food photography is simple because each recipe is photographed, but it's simple. It's as it would be if you made it at home.
Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, often I know from my years in the industry that you can open a book and the recipe might sound great, but you look at the photo and you think, oh, that looks really complicated.
Mm, yeah. Mm.
And I don't think I can manage. Well, there's so many different steps that, you know, I mean, obviously it's great if you can make your own pastry for a tart, but, you know, there's really good ready-made pastries out there now.
Yeah.
You don't
there
have
is.
To.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
No.
And and throughout it, there's lots of hints and tips. So there's lots of things on what to do with leftovers. You know, things like tomato peel, the skins of tomatoes. If you're peeling tomatoes to make something, you can actually dry those tomato skins and in the oven and grind them up to make a lovely tomato salt, which you can sprinkle over food.
Oh,
or
that'd be quite flavoursome,
you know,
I'd imagine.
Exactly. Or if you've peeled asparagus. I mean, personally, I don't peel asparagus, but if you did, and some people do like to peel it, you can actually toss those in a little bit of egg and breadcrumbs and fry them and make a snack or a little hors d'oeuvre, a canapé. Mm. So there's lots of things you can do, not that you would, with things that you would normally throw in your compost or throw away.
Mm.
And that's something we're all thinking about these days is wasting food.
Mm.
So, you know, you can take the seeds out of your pumpkin and wash all the pith off and leave them to dry.
Yes.
And then you can either plant them or you can roast them and eat them. You know, there's all sorts of things you can do.
And they're all vegetarian recipes?
Not really. My book has been described in the media as lots of things, vegetarian, plant-based.
Mm.
But there is bacon in a couple of recipes.
Or you could have the option of...
Lots of options.
Say,
and I talk about serving it as a side, you know, a dish as a side alongside a piece of grilled chicken or meat.
Okay.
You know, I'm not a vegetarian. I believe in eating all food moderately. You know, I eat a lot less meat than I used
to. Same.
I think most people are the same.
Yeah.
But I actually like meat and I don't eat a lot of it now. And what I eat, I try and eat organic, or know the provenance of my meat.
Yeah.
The same as anything else I eat.
Mm.
That's very important to me.
It's nice to have an alternative recipe that's yummy,
but
and you're
not
just relying on the meat as the masterpiece all the time, you know?
So the meat plays second fiddle.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there are so many delicious things you can do with vegetables.
Mm.
And it's about having that inspiration, you know.
Okay.
And that's what Bounty's about.
So that is Bounty by Catherine Bell.
Yep.
So, and where can we find that?
Well, it should be out there in most bookstores now, all the normal ones and the independents. It's also available at gourmet food stores and some gift stores.
Yeah.
Or it can be purchased online.
Mm-hmm.
The website is epicurepress.co.nz.
Epicure, okay.
Epicure Press.
All right.
And if you type in Bounty, it'll probably pop up into Google. And I hope so, anyway. And so that's available to buy online there.
Yeah. And are these recipes used in the schools?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
They're my inspiration, but a lot of them certainly could be. And I hope most of the schools have bought a copy, and I hope that the specialists will use it as inspiration.
Yeah.
There's probably a few in there that wouldn't be used, but probably not many.
Mm.
Probably not many. I mean, the kids, you know, it's interesting. When you think about what food children like and what they might eat, children, they're incredibly capable. So the kids make pasta, they make pastry for tarts. They do all sorts of things. It's not just about making fritters or kale chips. You know, yes, those are made, but there's a lot more to it.
Awesome. Oh, that's wonderful news, Jen.
I've got to buy a copy for my library.
I was just going to suggest that because Selena's a librarian at Manawa School.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yes.
I've got some in the car.
And I do. I like the fact that they are simple recipes.
Yes.
We're a big fan of the keep it simple sort of mode in our house, and I often prefer, I enjoy them more when there's less going on. I don't know.
Sometimes you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
You want something simple. Sometimes you've got a deluge of something in the garden, like rocket or whatever it might be, broccolini, whatever it might be, or broad beans, and you want a simple idea of what to do with that so you don't waste it.
Yeah.
So I've tried to sort of, I guess, provide people with inspiration for that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome because, often you are, you end up with, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with all this kale?
Speaking of, that's really cool. Deluges, is there any plant that's really popular with children that you found?
Well, I think they do grow a lot of leafy green things because they tend to have those in the garden all the time.
Yeah. But, and they're pretty easy to grow too.
You know, English peas.
Yeah.
And sugar snaps too, but English peas and broad beans. There's so much wonder attached to those. You know, you open up the pod and inside, with a broad bean, it's all furry on the inside and there's these lovely little beans nestled in there.
Yeah.
And the peas. Yeah. I was just up at Kerikeri School on Wednesday. We had a royal visit at Kerikeri School by the Duchess of Cornwall, which was very exciting.
Ooh.
And
lucky.
And you know, the kids, they grow peas there, and the kitchen specialist was telling me how they can't even get enough to cook with because the kids just want to eat them straight off the...
Yeah.
And the same with strawberries.
Yeah.
Strawberries, you know, they've got three beautiful big strawberry beds up there. And she said it's really frustrating because I want to do something with strawberries, but every time there's a ripe one, it gets eaten.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. Oh, I love it. I love a fresh pea in my salad.
But don't you think that's such a wonderful thing for children to be able to go out into a garden and just pick something and eat it?
Yeah.
The wonder attached to that, I think, is quite
spectacular. It's straight off the vine. Yeah. It's just, it's nothing better.
Don't need to cook it. Just munch.
Exactly. Yeah, it brings out the gathering mentality, doesn't it, when you do that?
Foraging. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome.
Have we got time for a plant of the week?
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower.
Right, so plant of the week, Selena, is bean. What can you tell us about the humble bean?
The beans. Well, children love beans. They love growing beans. They're so easy to grow and really good this time of year. Just pop them in the ground and they'll come.
The bean was one of the first plants I ever grew. It was when we did the bean on the windowsill at school.
Yes.
And we had to, back in the 80s, and we had to measure who's got the highest.
Yeah. And you can tell the story of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Always the magic beans.
There's two types of beans. There's climbing beans and there's dwarf beans, but I think the climbing beans are actually more fun.
Oh, do you? I think they probably are. And the thing is, I believe you don't have to remove them every year.
No.
That if you leave them in the soil, they'll die back and then they'll grow again the next year.
Oh.
Whereas dwarf beans don't.
Yeah.
I always grow dwarf beans because I have a small garden. They don't take up so much room. And in fact, I just noticed last night I've got some lovely little dwarf green beans.
Are they a similar taste? I'm not a big bean eater.
Yeah. The runner beans are a bit more tough, a bit more furry.
Yeah.
But the dwarf beans are a bit more smooth.
Well, they're like a French green bean and you can eat those whole.
So, yes, you've got your annual ones and your perennial ones, which you can cut back and then they'll come away again the next season. One tip is prefer not to use commercial varieties because they're grown more for the farmers and they're harvested by machines, so they're not as tasty and appropriate as the home-grown
probably a bit
ones.
Tougher. Yeah.
But you can save your seed and grow them on for next year and the year after, so you don't need to keep buying seed. Mm. They're just so prolific that you can actually save the seed and grow it for next year.
Okay, well, I'll look up heirloom bean seeds.
Yeah. Just have well-drained soil and not too rich in nitrogen and they'll just come away. Make sure you have a climbing frame or something for them to grow up.
Okay, shall we just let Catherine wanted to inform the listeners about volunteer work for Garden to Table.
Yes, well, if you're interested in volunteering at a school, best thing is just to go onto our website, gardentotable.org.nz, and we can direct you to a school near you that might need volunteers.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for telling us all about Garden to Table.
Keep up the amazing work. It's
my
awesome.
Pleasure, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.